This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Fuck yeah, let's get it, boys. Amir sucks. Yeah, Amir's good. Let's get it, boys.
Fuck Amir. Let's do it.
Woo! Fuck, I love having a good time with Amir. Jake and Amir in the house.
Amir's the worst. Peace out.
Amir's fine, baby.
When was that bit from?
I think it was from us singing a song and you were insulting me and I was trying to pretend like we were both saying that I was pretty good.
Yeah, it's a good bit. I like it. Let's get it, boys.
It was remixed by our favorite Don Kianian.
Don Kianian.
That's right. If you use this, it would be number 7 theme song.
Wow, dude's catching up to Goncalves.
For our most prolific award. Anyways, if you'll honor me with a plug, writes Don Key, please send them to my website, wolf-riot.com.
That was almost good enough.
That's right.
You don't want to see the dash, but then two words like wolf riot is pretty cool. Two T's, that's tough.
Yeah,
that's tough.
Two deviations from the wolf riot that you wanted.
Yeah, that's tough.
I wonder if you can get a domain name with two hyphens back to back.
Interesting. I didn't even know you could get a domain with a hyphen.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could hyphenate a domain.
Yeah, I guess you can.
That's new to me.
That really changes the Squarespace plug game.
Yeah, I mean, you do need that at a certain point. I wonder, I mean, can you use numbers in a domain? Like I could do Jake85.com.
Like, yeah, like art19.com.
Oh, I'm so stupid. Yeah.
What about an emoji? An emoji in a domain name.
I don't think that's good or possible, or should be possible.
But can you do a colon in a parentheses?
Yeah. JakeHurwitzSmiley.com. The smiley should be the extension. So like JakeHurwitz.smile.
Yeah, and I think that's available.
I would hope so.
You should get that.
JakeHurwitz.sunglass emoji.
That's cool.
Yeah, it'd be kind of chill.
All right, we're back. You're back. You were in Mexico for a little bit.
Indeed. I was in Mexico, as they say.
And was it warm there?
It was lovely. It was absolutely perfect.
Was it kind of like to be there?
It was great to be there. High 70s during the day.
Ooh.
Low 70s to high 60s at night. So like,
ooh,
you could wear pants comfortably. It was really nice.
Very nice.
On the West Coast, we're watching the sunsets right from the pool. Stray dogs everywhere. So it's kind of nice to see puppies, though their circumstances are admittedly a little sad. But your life is good when you can see a lot of dogs. So that was nice.
Yeah. And then you wonder how they get fed. And
yeah. Totally. Well, I mean, they eat trash, so
yeah. Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
Not good. Not great. But nice to see the dogs.
As long as you throw away enough dog food, they're good to go.
We're throwing away food. They ate plenty.
Highlights
for me personally. I as you know, I've reached Delta Diamond status because I've been flying a lot, and Jill, who sometimes makes fun of me for being so loyal to Delta,
more loyal to Delta than to her.
We got upgraded on, it was a connection. So we got upgraded to Atlanta, then Atlanta to Puerto Vallarta. We got that first class upgrade. Are you crying?
Uh-huh. No, yeah, I'm just thinking about how much I hate this, but continue.
That was huge. That was absolutely massive for me.
That was a savage grade.
That made the trip for me, because not only did I get... We had access to the Delta Sky Lounge. I had control of my seat. And as you know, control is nothing, or access is nothing without control. So yeah, I had control.
Like, you're
I had
in Mexico.
Access.
Did you have a nice time with like the friends and
what
you,
were
like,
they serving
yourself?
On the flight? Newark to Atlanta, and Atlanta's a hub, mind you. So they have
nice
the salmon.
To, like, travel internationally.
They have
you
the
get
chicken.
To, like, see new people.
A basket of
language.
Snacks, coffee service, tea, whiskey, wine,
and a honey mustard.
The water. The water didn't stop coming. Nary did my bottle see its halfway mark without me being asked if I'd care for another.
And was Jill upgraded too, or was it just
she didn't have to be. Because I had bragging rights, I had access, and I had control. No, she got upgraded too. That was the best part.
That's good.
So we get there. It was such a smooth trip. Like, we were going to like this beach town called Sayulita, and I've never been to Puerto Vallarta. No idea like what we're going to do, how we're going to get the car, how we're going to get our groceries, but it was also seamless and easy.
That's nice.
And I guess the highlight is a little bit of an adventure, I'd say. On the first day we get there, we just enjoy the pool. We go out to dinner in the town. It's perfect. Next day, we kind of do just lounging by the pool, hanging, drinking games. Then on Monday, we went on a catamaran. We booked this like kind of like cruise because there's 14 of us.
Was it a booze cruise?
For some, it was a booze cruise. I would say Jill was like a little nervous because she's like, I think I might get seasick. I don't know if I should go. She's like hemming and hawing. She's not sure if she wants to go. Somebody else is like, I get seasick sometimes too. I'm just going to take this like Dramamine thing. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm like not pressuring Jill at all because like the last thing, I don't know if she gets seasick. So the last thing I want to do is like, oh, you'll be fine. And then she's out at sea, like absolutely miserable. So I'm just whatever you want to do.
I like saying you'll be fine, but you don't know. You'll be fine.
Of course, yeah. People absolutely get seasick. No, like, no, Jill, you're going to be good. Trust me. Go on this catamaran with me, babe.
She's puking. You'll be fine. You're fine right now.
So like we wake up, everyone's like already even like a little hungover, but we get on the catamaran.
Not a good way to start.
Yeah. I love it. As you know, I'm reading the Master and Commander series. So anything that has to do with me being on a sailboat at sea is super exciting to me right now.
You're dressed up like a full 18th century naval commander on this catamaran.
I'm buckled into my pantaloons. I'm wearing a wig.
Sweating your ass off. You look like Washington crossing the Delaware. Everyone else is in a fluorescent tank top.
A tarpaulin jacket. I'm dressed for like the Arctic. So we get out of the harbor. We're like going out to sea. Jill's there. I notice that she's being like a little quiet. And I'm like, I can't tell. And everybody's sort of like a little quiet, just like chill. And I can't tell if Jill is like content and chill. She's like eyes out at the horizon. I'm like, oh, I think she might be feeling a little seasick. And I went up to her and I'm just like, hey, are you okay? And she just looks at me. Her teeth are chattering. Her hand is shaking. And she's like,
oh,
is it too late to turn back?
She dives for the coast. You're true, like, 400 meters away.
The worst. And we had been sailing for maybe 15 or 20 minutes. So like it was too late to turn back. We couldn't go back.
Did she take the Dramamine?
She took the Dramamine. And I had prepared for her to be like, I'll be okay. You're just like a little bit miserable, but like she's like, I'll get through it.
There's also no shade at sea.
But can we go back? No. And you're sitting there. It's like, it is rocking. You're just like,
yeah, constant.
It's up and down.
There's no relief at sea. It's hot, it's sunny, and it's constant rocking.
And I guess, like, to me, I think of like the rocking and the sun as like cradling, and it's a gentle swell. And no. I don't know. I like all that stuff. But even I was like, you know, there's like an adjustment period for like a few minutes where you're like, whoa, this is weird. But I guess, so instantly there's 14 of us, maybe 4 to 5 people got seasick and just like had to like put their hats over their heads, lie in the little part of shade that the boat had, and like not look at anything.
I've gotten seasick. Weren't you there when Ben Joseph took us like on his sailboat around the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah, there. That was dope. I loved that. But I also threw up that day. I was super hungover. I think everyone threw up. We went.
Yeah.
Did you puke? You did, right?
I puked, and then also like I was on a biology trip in 10th grade where they took us out to sea, and like I also started puking there.
I wonder what that is.
I think it's just called being Jewish.
I guess so, but I'm Jewish. I got a little
only half.
Yeah,
that's why you got sort of queasy, but you didn't puke.
That's right. My fortitude shone through. But it was great. They like brought us out to this this like island that only people can only get there by. I guess I think it's actually connected to the land, but it's an area where there are no roads, so you can only get there by boat. So this entire town was like built by like people bringing their shit across the ocean and then like carrying it up on mules, and there's like these waterfalls, this completely private beach. And then on the way back, it's like there were 14 of us. I think on the way back, half of us were seasick, and the other half, like, it turned into like they're taking shots with the captains, blasting music.
Oh my god.
Like shaking their asses over the side. Like one half of the boat was so sick, could barely even move. And the other one, it was like two different vacations.
Where
like,
were you?
Blasting music. I was really in the middle, because like I didn't feel sick, but I don't really like to day drink, so I didn't get drunk. Right. And I'm sort of like checking in on Jill. And then I'm also just like, I just want to like lay in the sun and read my book. So I was like with the sick people, I guess, but not feeling as sick.
And we're talking puking.
I think maybe 2 people puked and everyone else was more just like, I need like peace and quiet. I need to lie down. I'm taking a nap. That kind of
thing. I wonder what Dramamine actually does. How could there be a pill that doesn't make you nauseous? I don't quite understand that.
Yeah, and there's also those weird like bracelets. You know those bracelets where you
they're supposed to like put pressure on like certain parts of your body that make you less seasick.
It doesn't make any sense to me. It really doesn't.
I don't buy it.
It does not. But you don't like sailing aside. Does the idea of like being on a boat in the middle of the ocean and diving off, does that like spark joy for you? Does that stir your heart?
No.
Like, you don't even like swimming in the ocean.
I like swimming. Like, I'll go, like, I did snorkeling in Hawaii, and that was really fun. Like, you're sort of by the shore, but, like, whenever you want, you can, like, stand up and walk back to the shore.
Right.
The idea of being so far out into the ocean that you can't see any land, that's not a good place to be. That's stranded. That's stuck. That's scary. And I'm getting a little nauseous thinking about it.
You're throwing up on your mic, man.
I'm going to pull the trigger.
that was funny because it was like one of my highlights and probably Jill's lowlight.
And doesn't that say it all?
Yeah. Some people peaked, some people bottomed out right there.
Yeah. And then how do you get over it? You just have to like lay down in a dark room that's not rocking for like 3 hours.
But I found it was like kind of insane because Jill was like, she ended up not getting like super seasick. She was more like nervous about being seasick, I think. But like once we pulled up to this like little cove and everybody jumped off the boat and like swam to the beach, everyone, even the people who were sick, were 100% fine. Like as soon as they got off the boat, they're like, this is awesome. I'm really happy. And then we like got on the boat again to like go 10 minutes down towards the town. And people are just like, oh, I'm sick. Like,
yeah, I wonder what that is. What's going on inside of our bodies?
Yeah, it's so instantaneous.
especially because, you know, as babies were being rocked constantly, you think that's like a more nourishing, comforting feeling.
Yeah. And there, it also really does affect, I mean, there were, Jill has like told me for a long time that she gets seasick. So I like expected it. But there are people on that boat that are like very adventurous, hardy people that seem like they'd love it. And they were just like super sick. So it's not like it preys on the little nebbish Jew boys like you.
Anybody can suffer from the seasickness.
Yeah, fucking Jost could get seasick, I bet.
I doubt it. I used to get plane sick.
Yeah, you got car sick too.
Yeah, I get every mode of transportation sick.
Motion sickness, yeah.
Yeah, it's all the same sickness.
What about on a bike? If you went on a long, if you were a long walk, would you start to feel ill?
No, I've never felt ill on a bike. Or I rarely rode a bike, but I've also never been sick on a walk either. I get walk sick, land sickness. I think I'm getting sit sick.
Sometimes if you toss and turn in your sleep, you'll vomit, right?
Yeah, that's only when I'm wasted, waking up choking on my own puke. All right, let's try to answer a question before the break. This is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the web, hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Jake.
Here's a question about, oh, porn, of course.
Yes. I really am an expert at this.
Okay. So this guy's inquiring about an OnlyFans account. Do you have a guy's name for him?
Sure. OnlyFans. Let's call him Lonely Frank.
That's cool.
Yeah. It's sort of like a, slang.
Okay, dudes. Here's the deal. I'm a 25-year-old male from Michigan, and I recently learned that my ex has an OnlyFans account. On the off chance you've never heard of OnlyFans, it's like Patreon, but for sexy pics. Now, I have no problem with my ex posting and selling sexy or even nude photos of herself. It's her body. She can do whatever she wants with it, of course.
Good.
If she can make a few bucks off selling some salacious photos, then more power to her. Hell, I'd do it, too, if I thought I could make some cash.
This is insane. Now,
the issue is when we were dating, she never even sent me nude photos. I got sexy photos, sure, and believe me, they still get the job done, but never nudes. And at the time, she told me that she never took nudes and that it would have sent me some if she did. So I'm not sure if I pay to join her OnlyFans if I'll see more of what I already have or more nudity. I mean, I'm a single horny guy who doesn't mind occasionally paying for porn in small doses. But if it isn't nudes, then I don't want to pay for it since I already have photos of her. I mean, let's face it, fellas. Sexy photos are great, but they have nothing on nudes. Also, I'm not sure if it matters, but this relationship ended poorly, and we haven't spoken in over a year. She moved to a different state, so I can't actually use my current account since she'll know it's me.
Right.
Anyway, my question is this. Is it weird or bad for me to make a fake account, sign up, and get my ex's OnlyFans account? I don't want to get back together with her or anything, but if her nudes are out there, I would like them since I don't have any of her nudes. That's right. Any help would be appreciated. Appreciated. Sincerely, what did you call him?
Lonely Frank.
Lonely Frank.
That question is written so in such earnest. I feel like, one, he doesn't have a problem. I don't know. Mm-hmm. This is the absence of a problem. You're overthinking just this scenario. Two, it seems fine. But three, I don't like your tone.
It's fine that she's doing it. I'll allow it to happen.
It's her body. But guys, I think, and I just want to pay for it, but I'm not going to pay for it if I'm not getting the nudes. I mean, sexy photos don't have anything on nudes.
Like, yeah, we know that.
Everything he said was like implicitly obvious, but he beat it over the head.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. Like, it's clearly fine for him to just like make a fake account and see his ex's nudes. I just felt like that was a strange email.
Yeah. Does it affect what you think of him as a human?
It's sort of, he didn't seem like a bad guy. He seems like a, what is the, it seems like he's like meticulously studied how to be a good normal guy. So he's like, he's basically showing us the work everywhere. Whereas like, I feel like a lot of that stuff should just be like not occurring naturally to you.
Yeah.
Like him saying, it's okay that she does an OnlyFans. Like, yes, of course it is okay. But he's like, it's okay because it's her body and she'll do what she wants. Like, yeah, I know. Doesn't it feel like he had to sort of work through that himself? And now he's sort of like presenting it as like information that he discovered because his initial reaction was, this is not okay. This is my ex.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know if I'll allow her to do it, but I don't know. I guess it's her body after all. You know what? Yeah, I will allow her to do it.
And I'll let everyone know.
Asking you for permission.
Yeah, I'll show everyone else how enlightened I am by walking us through.
Is OnlyFans new, or has it been around since your porn days of yore?
It definitely wasn't around since my porn days of yore. I think there's like, it's kind of these new ways of like, monetizing your content yourself rather than being part of like the big studios, the browsers, the bang buses yeah. of the world.
Just like Patreon.
Yeah, it's Patreon for porn stars.
Direct to consumer.
Yeah. It's unbundling porn.
Right.
You can finally get your porn a la carte.
A la fart,
especially if you're into fart porn. There, I think partially, like also like this like OnlyFans thing has like unlocked fetishes that no one ever even knew that they had, where like you couldn't find so much of this stuff in like mainstream porn, but now there's like such a there's demand for farting videos or crushing videos or whatever, and giantess videos. So now people are just like making them themselves.
Yeah. So you're saying we could almost do that?
I'm not saying that at all. And it's
fart video. That doesn't seem that hard. I'll just eat like
we've already made
steak and some sausage. That gets me pretty gassy on the day.
I mean, yeah, you could. I don't think you want to do the kind of fart videos that they make online.
Oh, I think I'm getting porn sick.
It's not. I think it's the bloody.
Just thinking about humping.
You had food poisoning.
I'm going to pull the trigger.
You get motion sickness during sex. If I'm being ridden, it'll feel a little bit too much like I'm in a boat. A pleasure boat, but still.
All right, the long and the short of it is, should this guy get his ex-girlfriend's OnlyFans? Is it amoral? Is it not good in any way?
I think it's one of those things that you shouldn't... is there a word? I've been thinking about the idea that you and I should make... we should like make words. Wouldn't it be cool if we made a word that like became part of like the social lexicon, like, and people said it and they didn't know where it originated?
Oh, so you want to coin a term.
Yeah. So I think this is our opportunity because, so like doing something like this, like checking in on your ex's OnlyFans, mm-hmm. it's not inherently wrong, but it's like bad if you talk about it. Like you wouldn't want this to be public knowledge, but it being like a pervy private thing that you do is, I think, normal.
So would you say do it? Would you say not? Would you say do it anonymously, fake account, or just go for it full transparency?
Do it anonymously, fake account, and don't tell anyone that you did it.
including us.
Like you shouldn't have even written this email. But like, what's the? We should edit this out. What's the word for something is fine as long as you don't say anything? It's kind of like jerking off. I mean, like, it's not illegal or bad for me to masturbate in my shower, but it'd be weird if I, like, was getting ready for work and I'd be like, oh, all right, Jill, I've just finished masturbating in the shower. I have to run. You know, I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't say that.
No. So, like, a private personal thing.
What about non-full transparency?
Oh, opaque transparency. No, what about transparency?
Oh, that's cool. So it's like the Southwest thing, but we stole it and made it ours.
But it'll be fair, F-I-R, F-A-I-R. So it's like fair to hide it. We'll steal it from Southwest still.
Yeah. Okay, instead of full transparency, it's empty transparency.
Wait, what? Tell me again.
Instead of full, it's empty transparency.
Yeah. It has to be more of a pun.
Okay, let's take a break and think about it, and then we'll be back on the other side of these messages with more questions and answers.
And a perfect pun guaranteed.
Oh, I think I'm going to be sick, dude.
Shit.
Fuck. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes. Yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah. I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, mm-hmm. and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog. And it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite. Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. You're like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their full name.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test.
I am
certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar. But for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast.
It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah, kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress, and all mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz, and you get 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code HELIXPARTNER20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is HELIXPARTNER20, all one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you.
And we are back. Jake, do you have any?
On to less sooner than five. Mom, I'm coming.
Gross. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I frankly do. I honestly have some this week.
Yeah? Is it about puking or?
Actually, this thing probably would make you puke. I've bought and have been very much enjoying my Theragun.
That's that little jackhammer instrument that you use to massage yourself.
Yes, it looks kind of like a drill, but it pummels you with like a rubber head. I mean, you see them on Instagram, you see them everywhere.
It's a power massager.
Yeah. I think there's a couple of different kinds out there too. The one I got is like the mid-range Theragun.
Is it official? The official Theragun.
Yeah, and I really like it.
Wow, where do you use it? Other than your cock.
That's good shit.
What?
So I use it on my cock and my nuts.
Stop. Stop it.
So you started it. I use it mostly on my cock and my nuts. I have...
You sit on it.
Yeah. I use it on like my legs, my hip flexors, my quads, and my glutes. I spin it around and put it on my ass.
So you do use it on your buttock.
Yeah, not in it, but on it. Okay.
And what's the difference? What's the science there? It just sort of shakes your muscles.
Yeah. Who knows? I don't know that like it's actually understood or proven, but it's like the same. I feel like I read one time that there's not like actually a proven benefit even to like foam rolling or something. And like a lot of
just whatever is good is good.
Like this thing I was reading was like, you can, if so, basically someone foam rolled on one side but like got the benefits throughout their whole entire body, because like it's partially mental, maybe.
It's but part also mental,
part mental, compartmental. But this thing, I mean, it's kind of like massage. It just loosens up the muscles. And it feels real good. If I have like a tightness in my quads or in sometimes my lower back hurts, and I use the Theragun on my ass cheeks, and it relieves it a little bit.
That's cool.
You know, there's also it feels good as it's happening. So like your body feels good afterwards, and it feels good during.
Yeah, it's like a massage. Yeah,
the Theragun, it's the Live lightweight, which is something which I've been curious about. Getting a massage, but I still haven't pulled the trigger.
That's cool. How's the foot?
The foot's good, man. It's very...
You went swimming.
I went swimming. I rode my bike yesterday. I've been walking around. It's great.
What percent back are you?
I think 85, maybe. It feels better than my foot did before. It still feels like there's... it feels like maybe there's like a little bit of a, what is the word? Kind of like before it was like a long, long ago injury. So it never like if I was running on it and it hurt, it didn't feel like I was doing more damage. It just felt like this is my foot. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when my foot is in pain now, it's like there's more panic behind it, a little more urgency. I'm like, oh fuck, I can't hurt it. So it's like a little more sensitive.
Not anymore. No more. Yeah. I'm done with it.
At the same time, like it doesn't, there's no resting pain at all.
This is exactly the 2-month anniversary of your surgery.
It's crazy. That's another piece of unsolicited advice I have. If you have pain in your feet and there's a surgical option for you that could work, I'd say go for it. It was bad while it was happening, but I feel really good now.
All right, let's answer this question about a New York City first date dilemma.
Yes.
We'll call this person Micah, who lives in New York City and talks about first dates a lot.
Correct.
Hey, guys, I'm going down south from New England to rendezvous with some friends after a couple days for spring break this year. And on my way down, I'm going to pass through New York and see a girl I'm friends with. We're planning on spending a day hanging out. And at some point, I'm planning on telling her that I have feelings for her. This is a pretty good situation, I think, since if she's not into it, I can just hoof it south and then not see her for a while. And if she is, then I could say something to the effect of, stop by on my way back. Can I stop by on my way back through and take you out? Here lies the rub, boys. I've never, literally ever, been to New York City before. I can't fathom where I'd take her, especially since she lives there, and I doubt I can come up with new and exciting date experiences for her. Since you guys have lived there slash live there now, what's a good date I could take someone on who A, lives there, B, I've known forever? So the getting to know you phase isn't a factor. Please help. I really like this girl. I don't want to blow it with a bad first date. We're both in our mid-20s and from New England, if that helps at all. Much love. Micah.
Okay. Wait, from England, not New England.
New England, New England.
New England, New England?
Yeah, New in like they live in New Hampshire or some shit. So down south is New York and below.
I see. I read that question wrong. I thought he was from friggin' England. Okay.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. Fucking love England. All right. Well, first of all, this is a topic that my brother and I discussed on our other podcast, The Goat Show.
And that app is already live.
That's live. That was 2 weeks ago, I think. We went on like 10 or 20 different first dates. We reviewed 20, narrowed it down to the best three and the worst one, and that's what the episode is about, the actual best first date you can go on.
Okay, so this guy can just listen to you and Micah dissect for 30 minutes what he should do.
Yeah, and that's actually why I'm not going to answer the question, and neither are you, because I'm trying to juice those numbers a little bit. So everyone that's listening to this, stop and go listen to The Goat Show with me and my other brother, because Amir, you're my first brother. he should be the first one.
I can like answer myself, and that'll be my point of view, which isn't in your episode.
Let's zip it up. It's not a full like 40 minutes or anything, but let's close up shop here and send people over. Tell you what, why don't we drop the goat show?
We can answer more questions.
Nope, I don't. I want to cut the content here so people are thirsty for something else.
So finish it early, leave them wanting more, mm-hmm. and that more is the goat show.
That's right. Well, actually, no, I would answer this because he does know her, so it's not like a full on first date. You know,
So the advice is slightly different.
Yeah, he's more looking for like a good scenario to tell her he has feelings, which there's a lot to consider.
What I liked about when I was living in New York, what I liked is when somebody visited, you as somebody who lives there got to do some touristy things that you wouldn't otherwise do.
Totally. Yeah.
We're talking about the boat. You can hop on the Staten Island ferry, which is not actually rocking the boat very much. That's a very smooth ride. Even me, with my gentle disposition, my fragile nature, didn't get seasick on the Staten Island ferry.
Mm-hmm. Your fraught frame.
Yeah, we're talking Natural History Museum, that giant-ass whale that sort of hovers over you. They got dinosaur bones.
Yeah.
I'm not really going to those with my boys, but it would be fun to go with an out-of-towner.
Yeah, most of the time, when you live in the city, you go to the same coffee shop every day, go to work, go home, order food, go to sleep. Maybe you go to the gym, whatever.
Right.
Like, you don't experience all New York has to offer.
Or you don't eat the best pizza even because it's like 45 minutes deep into Brooklyn.
Right. You would never, ever do that. So there's, at least we can quell this guy's fear that like you can probably suggest something that she hasn't done yet. Or like even if she maybe heard of it but not actually gone to one of these museums or walked on the High Line even just like walking over one of the bridges. I think that would be my suggestion because it's, you have a free-flowing conversation. There's like enough to distract you by like looking around an external stimuli, but it's not so distracting like you can't have a conversation. Like at a museum, you kind of have to like take in the art and people wander away from each other and you're discussing shit. You want to have something like a walk where you're already kind of on a mission with someone. It's inherently teamworky. And there's a little bit of built-in romanticism if you're walking over one of the bridges because it's beautiful.
Yeah. What about a bridge to a museum or after a museum? What I like about the museum is that it gives you something to talk about. When you're on a bridge, it's like, this is small talk to medium talk to large talk. There's no necessarily topics of conversations being thrown at you.
So I'm into that. There's something, I don't know like what the museum situation is. Here's what I would suggest. You meet at the Brooklyn Museum of Art, okay? It's in Prospect Heights. You go to the museum, enjoy your time, you get a coffee, and then you walk through Prospect Park, which is a beautiful, beautiful park. Okay?
That's cool. Okay.
You could similarly do this in Manhattan if that's more convenient. You go to
I think the History Museum is right next to Central Park.
Yeah, exactly. So a museum to a park walk. And you tell her on the park walk. You guys familiarize yourselves with each other. You have a nice time at the museum. Then you drop the bomb. You don't want to do it early, because then if it doesn't go well, you can't just hoof it straight south then. You know, you'd have to take in an exhibit, and that'll be sad.
Yeah. I don't know. The whole idea of dropping the bomb is also very scary. Like, do you have to say it in plain words? I have feelings for you.
Can't
you feel it out?
Yeah, I'm sure you can feel it out. Definitely take social cues. If it's romantic, you can say something. But if it's not, then don't. But yeah, it's it is weird. I can't remember the last time.
A daytime bomb dropping is very, a sober daytime bomb dropping. It's hard to reciprocate.
It's also very, it's an interesting scenario to be in where you like basically have feeling for a friend and you have to like come clean. I don't know if, I've definitely done that when I was like in high school and stuff. But like since then, it feels way more like I am trying to date. So if I'm like going to see you, it's already romantic, you know?
Yeah, it seems like if you hang out during the day, if she wants to see you more that night, then she's into it. And if she's like, I'm busy tonight, then she's not.
That's an interesting idea. I guess I didn't think of how much time he has in New York. I sort of imagined it was like a day and then he's leaving that evening or something. But if he's going to stay the night, it makes a ton of sense to like do an activity like get the best slice of pizza, go to a cool restaurant, go to a museum, see a sight, and then suggest like getting a drink later.
Yeah, and that's a good litmus test.
Yeah. If you have the time, I would suggest that. And if you don't, sight / museum plus walk, being in a park or over a bridge or along the river.
Actually, walking along the river might get me a little queasy now that you say it.
I think I see a fucking kayaker. Oh, no.
Some of these docks aren't like got a nail down right. They kind of shift and ebb and flow with the tides. Oh, God.
I got wet. I'm getting walk sick.
Do you have feelings for me? Oh, shit. Here comes the diarrhea of the South. Fuck me, ass. Get my Theragun. It's in my backpack.
You shit yourself. That has nothing to do with being seasick.
I need to plug it. I need to plug me shut.
Put this on my OnlyFans. Quickly. People will pay their premium.
Do you have any thoughts or feelings for me? I'm curious if you have feelings. Don't be afraid to catch feels.
Oh, Jesus.
All right, good luck. Let us know what happens. I'm curious now.
Yeah, I'd like a follow-up up here. Full show.
And if a full day in a romantic city like New York doesn't get it done, then you have no game, dude.
You have serious social problems.
You can't close. Oh, God. Talking about closing actually makes me clothes sick.
Someone has to close me.
All right. Thanks for writing those emails in. If you have your own questions or theme song submissions, send them all down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com.
Yes.
The opening one, if you remember, was Don Kianyan.
Don Kianyan.
His closing one is a longer song called Give Amir the Golden Mic.
No.
I don't know if you're still doing that in your head.
I got the golden mic this episode, but we'll see what happens for you next episode. Maybe the song will be good. That'll be fun. That'll be interesting to see.
I've been meaning to ask, what about the episode where Jeff and Riley were on and you were not?
You actually, all three of you guys got turdies for that because I didn't even know that that was happening.
Okay. And who got the golden mite?
Yeah. I got the golden mite in absentia. In absentia. I got a posthumous golden mic for that episode.
You were dead that day.
I absolutely deserved a golden mic. I think my... my absence was keenly felt, which made it a golden mic worthy, sort of like a recognition, like that my value to the podcast was provided. It was crystallized. It was locked in
on the
that
day.
Episode. In absentia, posthumously.
Actually, this person who wrote this theme song, Giving Me the Golden Mic, is named Jacob.
Wow.
And if it gets on, shout out to my friends Eitan and Matan. Israeli cool. names, shout out.
Wow. A Jacob with an Israeli friend. It's just like us.
That's right. Our fans, they're just like us. And if you want some more content, more If I Were You, more watch videos, it's all on our Patreon, patreon.com/JA. I also got the speech at your wedding on there. We got Lonely and Horny season 1 and 2 on there.
That's right. That is, it's content rich at this point.
Yeah, we're over a year deep and there's hundreds, I want to say thousands of hours of content, literally weeks and years worth of content.
That's right.
For you to comb through.
That's right.
So check that out as well. Patreon.com/JA. And we'll be back next week. Bye, everybody.
Later.
Oh, and when I wake up, I play the podcast where they deal with breakups. With Jake Hurwitz, yeah, he is the golden boy. Amir Blumenfeld, they hear his real coin. Now let me tell you about my life. Listen to If I Were You is the highlight. Avital and Jill, yeah, they got fine wives. Told Jake's mom I love her, this is what I like. Marty knows. 20 of them in my Chevy, then I put them in my belly. Eating every one of those, yeah, I'm talking Laura's goodies. We all know she's not a rookie. You can buy them at jakesmomscookies.com. Tell me what you do in the same situation with a fake name. Today's sponsor's probably Squarespace. Fan of fans is Jocelyn and Ace. Wouldn't you know? Mir's never won gold mic before. When Jake was gone, I'm pretty sure the show's guest won. Really? Yeah, we love Jake's mom. Got her own pod too on HeadGum. But we're on Amir's show. If I were you, here's what I would do. Give Amir the golden mic. Give Amir the golden mic. Win the golden mic. He's the host with the most, so he deserves to win the golden mic. Yeah, the golden mic. Give Amir the golden mic. Give Amir the golden mic. Do you hear me? Do you feel me with the golden mic?
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. Can you do that? So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.